Monday. Open wide dev fans.
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, node modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development. The hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax. In this Monday hasty treat, we're going to be talking all about what is a headless CMS? Because this is one of those things that you might think, well, I know what a headless CMS is. Or maybe you're like, I've heard this thing over and over and over and over again, and I really just don't get what it is or why you'd want to use it. So we're going to go over what does it mean. We're going to give you some examples. We're going to talk a little bit about the why you might want to use it. We're going to be talking about static generation versus live sites and how we can even do a headless site at all. My name is Scott Tolinsky. I'm a developer from Denver, Colorado. With me, as always, is Wes Boss.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Wes. This episode is sponsored by Sentry. Now, Sentry is a longtime sponsor of Syntax, and they are the place to go if you want to make sure that you can track, record, keep record of every single bug that happens in the front end, back end, or any end of your site. Sentry is one of these services that I used long before we started Syntax, and when they approached us to be a sponsor for Syntax, I was just an instant yes, absolutely yes, because this is one of those services I can gush on. Because I use it, and I've used it for a long time at this point. And now Sentry keeps a record of all your bugs. It allows you to check them as resolved. It allows you to ignore the ones you should ignore, and allows you to basically know exactly the status of errors that are happening on your site right now as they're happening before your users send you an email saying, hey, I clicked this button and it didn't work. So head on over to Sentry at sentry.io. Use the coupon code TASTYTREAT, all lowercase, all one word, get 2 months for free, and find out why I use and love Sentry myself and have for a long time. So let's get into it. Let's talk about headless CMS. What the heck is a headless CMS?
Yeah, we get this question every now and then. It's funny because we have sponsors and we say they're a headless CMS, and we sometimes explain what it is. But like, I thought we'd just dedicate an entire show to what a headless CMS is. So the whole term headless in software means that there is no head, no visual front end to the thing that it is you're working on. So we hear like headless Chrome means that you can actually run a Chrome instance via the command line without actually having to open up the entire GUI of Chrome and see the website from have it actually running. It will just sort of run in the background without a head, right? It's just like walking around without a head on. And a headless CMS is sort of the same idea where you have a backend where you can log into and you can have all of your different content types and you can manage all of, you can do all of your CRUD, just create, read, update, and delete operations on your data. But there is no templating to that whole system. Like traditionally, we're used to like a Rails stack or a server rendered node stack or something like that. And part of having that stack is the templating side where when you visit a URL, you go off and render the data. So a headless CMS doesn't have that website portion to it. It just spits out the data via an API. Is that a good, fair way to describe it?
Yeah. I mean, headless, front endless. That's front pretty endless. Much it. Yeah, it's a CMS that spits out an API. And that's, you know, for a large part, we're used to CMSs doing all the work for us, right? The CMS handles the front end of the site, as well as handling the data, the relations, that sort of thing. But I think some of the things that the CMSs do typically best is handle the data. And sure enough, some of the front end stuff is great. But I know specifically in some systems, like in Drupal, people will like go to great lengths to have all these plugins to avoid having to write any sort of PHP code. And they're using all these sort of visual editors and things like that. And I think this headless CMS is really the opposite approach of that, is instead of having to not worry about the front end at all, you're worrying much more about the front end and you're able to use anything you might possibly want to give you a ton of freedom, flexibility to not be sort of stuck into these systems and stuck into how they're doing it. So let's talk about some examples here of headless CMSs. And I think one of the most commonly ways to use a headless CMS is to take WordPress. And for those of you who don't know, WordPress has by default an API spitting out JSON. And so since WordPress by default has a JSON API set up with no additional work, it makes it really super simple to use as the backend for a headless CMS, because all you have to do is connect to that API and bingo bango, you now have what is basically a backend service that can do all of the data relations and all of these things. Not only that, but it's going to give your clients the interface they're known and familiar with for all of the hundreds of WordPress sites they've probably seen before. And again, it allows you to use any sort of front end. So one popular combination is WordPress and Gatsby. It's one that I've used numerous times, where Gatsby is a static site that's going to be built from the data coming from your headless CMS. Now we're going to get into the difference between live and static sites in a little bit, but this is just sort of one static option for the front end and WordPress on the back end.
Bunch of other examples that we have here. You could grab any hosted service that you have. Obviously, we've had some sponsor of the podcast. Sanity is a sponsor. We've had Contentful sponsor. There's other ones. Netlify has a CMS. You can use pretty much any CMS that you are already using. They will likely have some sort of plugin or baked in. Like WordPress has a JSON API baked in. We're also going to have the creator of WP GraphQL on the show just to talk about that, because that's a huge spot. Also, like, people have 10, 15 years worth of content in a WordPress.
Yeah, right.
That would be a huge undertaking to move it to something that like might not be just as good, and you have to retrain people. So like, it's totally fine just to keep your data in one of these systems and then to do your front end in Gatsby. You can do it in React. You could do it in PHP or COBOL or anything you want. Like, it doesn't have to be a JavaScript front end, and it also doesn't have to be a static site generator. It could be a dynamic thing that on every request to it, that in turn will make another request to your CMS, which you would have to do with the database anyways, pull back the data and then render it out however it is that you want to display that data.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you're even getting into some of the next section, which is like the whys. Why would you do this? What's the purpose of that? And I think you nailed it really quickly with, well, all of your data might live somewhere. And who wants to migrate all of that data out of
that's
there? You can export it into CSVs. You can do all that stuff. But like, do you want to do that? I don't really want to do that. Wouldn't it be super cool if you could use all these things and not have to do that? It would be just by using the API instead of moving it to some other service. So again, I think that is a key point, is that a lot of the times it's a legacy system, but people want to take advantage of all of the new cool things. And not just because they're new and cool, but because they're cool and new for a reason, because they do all these excellent things for you, make JavaScript really just the first class citizen of your application there. So yeah.
Oh, we also have like separation of concerns. So if you have all of your data in a CMS, that data can then be pulled into multiple places. So it's likely that you'll have like a mobile app, maybe an iOS app and an Android app, and you have a website for whatever it is that you're working on. But maybe you also have like a micro site that you're working on that's like a totally different stack. And the idea here is that whoever is implementing the thing in whatever platform or whatever language is able to pull all of the data from a central spot. And you don't have to worry about like updating it in this CMS and then also in this CMS. As long as it spits out some sort of API at the end of the day, whether it's JSON API, whether that's GraphQL, or maybe even XML, if you wanted to do that to yourself.
Whatever you want to do to yourself, yeah.
What other things? You can optimize a site for performance. So one of the huge benefits to a statically rendered site, like something like Gatsby, is that you get huge performance wins and you don't have to hit the API every single time that someone requests something. You just hit the API at build time and then it renders it out to static HTML with that data. And then that goes into the next one, which Scott has here, which is security, right? That's huge security.
Yeah, and the security is just an important one, because I remember in the Drupal scene, like, such a huge amount of effort was going into hiding the fact that your site was Drupal, because there's a whole bunch of not necessarily exploits in any of these systems, but the moment that, you know, your attacker knows that you're on a WordPress site or a Drupal site, they're going to approach it very differently, and they're going to hit it with some WordPress-specific attacks or some Drupal-based attacks. But let's say your front end is entirely separated. Your you know, potential attacker is going to have no clue what the back end of your site is in. And therefore, because they have no clue, unless, of course, you're giving them access to seeing that it's WordPress in some sort of way, they're going to look at this thing and say, not only do I not know where the back end lives necessarily without doing a little bit of more work, but I don't even know what the back end is or the attack. It just throws off potential attackers, and it's also going to throw off potential like robots that are going to get in there and just look for some little hints and tricks and tasty treats to snack on in your site.
We'll probably get a lot of questions about like what's the benefit and downside to a live site, which would hit your API on every single request, or you could put some sort of caching in there if you like and maybe expire those and regenerate them every single time versus a static generate. And that is the we did an entire episode on Next.js versus Gatsby, and that just dives into really not even just Next versus Gatsby, but a dynamic website versus a statically rendered website. What are the pros and cons to each of those? So we'll point you to that episode if you want to know more.
Yeah, definitely. I think just listening to that episode would be a better strategy than trying to recreate it in a mini form here. The next is going to be the how. How do you do this? Well, there are some considerations that you need to take, basically, and I think some of the hardest parts of the how are really wrapped around hosting, because if you think about it, now you have a database and you have a back-end service and you have a front-end service and they're separate, right? You now have the separation of concerns, but they're separate. So you need to host your back-end somewhere. So the options would be to either host it as a service or either, I mean, not host it as a service, but to use a service like Contentful, Sanity, or any of those, right? Or you're going to need a host for your database. So where are you going to host that database? If it's a static site, well, then you don't really need a high performing host. You can go host that on a shared Bluehost for $2 a month or whatever it is. And it's just seeing that API and generating it once. So the performance of your server is not really connected to the performance of your front end. So there's a little bit of a cool thing there, but you do need to consider that you do need to have a host. Now, what about the front end? Well, you also need to host your front end somewhere. And this is for production specifically, because in development, all this stuff's going to be local. You're running it all local. You're connecting it all local, whatever. But in production, your front end also has to live somewhere. So again, you could potentially keep it on the same host and do a bunch of server-side stuff, not server-side stuff, but server configuration to get both your API and your front end up and running on the same server. Or you can defer to a service that specializes in this sort of thing. You can use Now as a host, you could use Netlify as a host, and those are going to be specialized hosts that specialize in hosting front end software. I'm personally a fan of using Netlify, and for like a really cheap option, what I've gone and done is I do like a Bluehost. For I know Wes isn't a fan of Bluehost, but I use Bluehost because it's cheap for hosting WordPress, JSON APIs, and then I use Netlify for hosting all my front end code. That's just how I do it.
Yeah, it's not the simplest thing out there, and you can certainly like write proxies that could host both of them on a like a DigitalOcean droplet. You could save yourself an extra $5 a month, but then you also have to manage an Nginx server, and you've got SSL certs that you need to renew yourself or set up a cron job to do that yourself. So in the simplicity that is having a headless CMS, there definitely is a lot more overhead in terms of having to manage two things at once and learn where to host them and whatnot. So I definitely think that a headless CMS is a good idea. Definitely something worth building a website on and seeing if it's a specific, if it's good for you and if it meets your use case. Because at the end of the day, I think a lot of us are moving to building these websites or apps in JavaScript frameworks anyways. So if that's the case, you do need to have some sort of API to pull your data from. So it would be worth looking into some of the different headless CMSs that are out there.
Word. Yeah, I think that's really good. It's one of those things that like, in the headless CMS space, it gives you so much freedom in a lot of different options, right? You can use Vue, you can use React, you can create some really great interactive things. But at the end of the day, it does add a layer of complexity. So if you are budgeting time and trying to figure out, keep in mind that you will need to budget time for that additional layer of complexity because it exists. And once you are new to the game, sort of, it's going to take extra long your first time. And it's really easy to look at it and say, why am I doing it this way? why can't I just go back to the way I was doing it before? And it, you might want to give up and just go back to the straight up WordPress, whatever way of doing it before. But a lot like things like coming from jQuery to React, you're going to really notice the benefit the second, third time around when you're really building something totally interactive. I had a client who was, they needed this slideshow, and this slideshow was like supreme being like, this thing was wild. It was sort of had a lot of different things, and it's not like I could just take a existing slideshow and modify it. Specifically in WordPress, I feel like that would have been a nightmare. I would have needed like a jQuery plugin, and then I would have needed to modify the jQuery plugin or just write it from scratch. And so it seemed like to me that the headless was the best option. I wrote the slideshow in like 2 hours in an afternoon when it would have probably taken me a few days in any other sort of way. So once you get really comfortable and see the benefits, there is different, you know, I'm not going to act like it's all a rose garden here, but it is a rose garden in other sense that there are some thorns that you need to watch out for.
But, that's deep. That's good.
Yes. So maybe it is a rose garden and it's beautiful, but at the same time, thorny. Who knows?
Cool.
Yeah. I don't really have anything else to add. Any other metaphors to try to shoehorn in here?
No, I think that's it. If you are running on the headless CMS specifically, I'd love to hear like different types of applications, because you always got like, you have like a personal website, you have a micro site, you have a like a marketing website, you have your full blown content website, you have e-commerce. There's all kinds of things that could happen with a headless CMS. And there's certainly no shortage of companies that are trying to provide services in that as well. So let us know what you're using. Tweet us at SyntaxFM. I'm very curious to hear what you're using.
Yeah. And specifically, I want to hear about APIs too, like how you are connecting with your APIs. Are you connecting with GraphQL? Are you connecting with REST? Are you connecting with GraphQL through Gatsby specifically or something else like WP GraphQL to serve a GraphQL API directly from WordPress? I'm really interested to hear what kind of things people are using in this space, because I think there's a lot of possibilities. There's a lot of open ground to use all sorts of different stuff. So again, let us know what you're using. We want to hear all about it.
All right. That's it for today. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you on Wednesday.
Peace.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.